Your Pew Bible this morning to Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to go into the sixth seal this morning as we continue our study in the book of Revelation. Beginning at verse 12, Revelation chapter 6, so if you're at home again this morning, I encourage you to keep your Bible open at home as well as here in the pew. There'll be different verses that I'll reference, but won't always be on the screen. And so if you'd like to remind yourself of those, please stay tuned to them. So there's a little bit of a turning point here this morning, and you're going to get this in the message today. And here's where we start to see the book of Revelation, some differences in denominational doctrine start to come here. And you're going to see a little bit about the Reformed doctrine. And so I will mention that throughout the message here this morning. But here's the point that I want to make with you. Even though there's differences in doctrines and some of the beliefs that we have in the book of Revelation, they are not salvation issues. Everything still depends upon Jesus Christ. And so when we split hairs between Reformed and Baptists and Methodists and those types of things, in the end, none of that's going to matter. Because Jesus will be the one doing the work, and however things end, we know that God is in control. And so there's many things that we know about this book, but there's many things we don't know about this book as well. There's a lot of mystery here yet. And so you're going to see some theology come through. And my goal is to not only speak truth from Scripture, but also to get you to think about how's this going to end? What is this going to look like? What part is God going to have in this? And so it's not for us to worry about, but to be aware of and to learn and grow in His Word as well. To be reminded that Jesus is in control. So let's read. Follow along with me. Verse 12. I watched as you opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. And the stars in the sky fell to earth as figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up. And every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves and among the rocks and the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it?" The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have spoken your word this morning, may you bring that word to life through your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that these words are your words and never mine. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here in your church and in their homes, Lord, that your Spirit open their hearts, their minds, and their souls to hear and receive your word. May we learn and grow from it. May you stretch us in our faith. In Jesus we pray, amen. The sixth seal is now broken, and the great day of God's wrath begins. We have to remember that this is still not the end of the world. It's still not the final judgment that is yet to come. The seals of the book of destiny have to be broken before the book can be read, the contents which are inside this scroll that we've been talking about now for some several weeks. We see the beginning of God's wrath against violence, hatred, and rebellion of a corrupt and evil world that you and I live in. Remember last week, in the fifth seal, the martyrs are under the throne, under the altar in heaven, and they're praying for God, "Do something, Lord, do something with the evilness that they see that's going on in the world that people live in." They want it to be over. They don't like what they're seeing. Throughout time, we've seen Satan work hard at trying to destroy the church and destroy the people of God. The four horsemen, which we learned about a few weeks ago, have left a trail of destruction throughout history. And things ramp up towards the end. We learned about that. Now, all of a sudden, we read about the wrath of God upon earth and the sixth seal. But here's my question this morning. In the midst of this seal, where is the church? Where are the people of God? When the sixth seal is open, and literally all this wrath is poured out upon the earth and the people of the earth? It's a good question this morning. Here's where it starts to get a little bit confusing for you, and I just want you to hold on. If you don't fully understand everything today, pieces will fit as we go through the book of Revelation, and it'll come together and make more sense as we get deeper into this. So here's the point that I want to make with you this morning. The church has left earth between seals 5 and seal 6. Jesus has returned. The final trumpet blast of God's people has now blown. The scroll, the heavens have been rolled back. Jesus descended. He's taken his church off earth. Now, you don't read that in Scripture today, but that's further on in the book of Revelation. But it does tell us in the book of Thessalonians. And so if you see that on the screen this morning, you can follow along. Let me read this to you. And here's what it says. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what goes on between seal 5 and seal 6. And from seal 6, we'll get into 7, probably this fall before we get there. But when we get there, you'll start to see this is how things go. But the church has left earth. Now, if you're Baptist, you might have this view that this is the, what word am I looking for? I forget what word that they use, but they leave the earth. The rapture. Thank you, Mark. The rapture. See, now, if you're Baptist, you believe that the rapture occurs, and there's things theologically on the backside, and there's some biblical support to this as well, that believe that there will be believers and non-believers left on earth, and that God will still bring salvation to those left behind. There's opportunity after the final trumpet blast. But in Reformed theology, we believe that once God blows the final trumpet and the church has left earth, all that's left is non-believers. It's over. So here's one of the points that we differ a little bit in theology. And remember, this is not a salvation issue. And if we're wrong, that's okay. And if the Baptists are right, that's okay. And vice versa. But here's my point I want to make with you. I want to make sure that as the church, and this is going to be my question for you at the end of this, do you know where you're going to be when that happens? What side will you be on? Will you leave earth with the people of God, or will you be left behind? That's the kind of the downright the thing you need to ask yourself in your faith. But in the Reformed theology, we believe that when that final trumpet blasts, and Christ returns for his people, that our fate and the people that are not saved, their fate is sealed. It's over. There is no second chance. And we don't know when that's going to come. The Bible doesn't tell us when that's going to come. The Bible says, always be ready. So you don't know when the Lord returns or when he calls you home. Because once you're dead, your fate is also sealed. And we'll get to more into this here in chapter 7 next week. There's an interlude of the 144,000 that we'll talk about next week. And that speaks of the church as a whole, that God protects and he preserves and he watches over the believers that are in this world. But if you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you'll be left on earth to experience the full wrath of God that Revelation will speak of for the next several chapters. And it's not very pretty. But today, let's learn about the sixth seal directed towards the unbelievers on earth. And so you know now that the church has left. God's returned with Jesus in the midst of this. And so let's look at some of the events that God's wrath will bring upon this earth. A great earthquake will happen. It speaks of in Scripture. Now, this is no ordinary earthquake. Jesus predicted that there would be earthquakes in the latter days before he returns, that we'd see signs and there'd be different events that would take place that lead up to these things. But at some point, there would be a great earthquake. islands would be leveled, the mountains would be leveled. That's quite an earthquake when Jesus returns. And it mentions three specific earthquakes in the book of Revelation. The one that we're discussing now, Revelation 6, verse 12. We see it again in Revelation 11, verse 13. And also Revelation chapter 16, verses 17 through 19. About this earthquake. Or other earthquakes. The Old Testament predicted it as well. Ezekiel spoke of it. In my zeal and fiery wrath, I declare that there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. And there was and has been many earthquakes along the way throughout history that have done great damage to cities and taken many lives. But Jeremiah, Joel, Haggai all predicted earthquakes. So this is nothing new for you and I. We understand that. But we're also told in verse 12 that the sun and the moon will be eclipsed. It'll be blackened. The sun will be blackened. The moon will turn to blood. The stars and meteorites will shower the earth. And practically speaking, we might see some of that already. How many of you ever experienced a meteor shower? Some? Yeah, we see stars fall, right? How many of you ever experienced an eclipse of the sun? We've all seen that happen, right? And so how many of you ever seen a red moon or a blood moon, they call it, in the sky? We see those types of events happen. So here's the question I want you to think about. Is this what it's going to look like in the end? Or will there be more? Will it be more intense than what we already might be experiencing? And I don't have an answer to that question. I'm kind of assuming that it probably will be, but I don't know for sure. I'm assuming that it will probably be more intense than what we realize or see today. So be prepared for that. Be aware of that. Then in verse 14 it says, the sky receded like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Speaks of the earthquake here, that everything on earth is just kind of leveled. What does that mean? And then if you look at verse 16, humanity is so frightened that they cry for the mountains and rocks to fall upon them. It's a prophetic way to describe the devastation that will come upon earth. Again, you find references in Isaiah 34 and Psalms and Jeremiah, even Nahum, and I'd like to read you that verse. It's on your screen this morning. 1 verse 5, mountains quake because of him. Now, this speaks of Jesus' return, by the way. Listen to this. Mountains quake because of him, and the hills dissolve. Indeed, the earth is upheaved by his presence. The world and all the inhabitants in it will know when Jesus returns. You and I will know. Unbelievers will know. So these are the effects of God's wrath on the world, on the universe. Now notice I haven't talked about people yet. And so let's talk about what that might look like in verse 15 and 16. We see the effects of God's wrath upon people. And there are two significant things that I want to share with you this morning that we see. The first is that great fear will grip all unbelievers on earth. Right? We had a list of those who are going to fall into fear. And think about this. Kings and rulers. The great and powerful of the earth, the mighty, the rich and the wealthy, military chiefs, the mighty and the strong, the slave and the insignificant, the free and independent. And you might ask, what does that mean? And that means that in its entirety, all those that don't believe in Jesus will be summed up in this group of people. From kings to those who are slaves, and anybody in between that's an unbeliever will be in this pool of people that'll be left here on earth to experience God's wrath in those days. And they'll be stricken with terror. And more or less what we need to know, and for you and I, that no one is going to escape the judgment of God. No one. Now, it depends what side you're on, because there's great joy and there's great relief. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, going to judgment is way different than going to judgment if you're an unbeliever. And we need to understand that. There's hope in a believer in Jesus Christ when you go to that final judgment. You don't have to be scared because of the blood of Christ. You're forgiven. You're washed clean. But if you're an unbeliever, oh my. You don't want to be a part of that. You experience things that you've never experienced before on earth. In ways that you never want to experience things. I also believe that the very atmosphere of the earth will be heavy with the feeling that the end is at hand in those days before Jesus returns. We'll know. We'll see the signs. We'll feel it. And when that day comes, unbelievers will know who the Lord is at that point. They'll understand that there is a God. And the terror and fright will be so maddening that the world will panic. People will madly rush to the Larchwood Food Center and to Costco and to wherever to think they're going to get food, but it won't matter. It won't matter in that time because food isn't going to make a difference. People will try to hide in dens and caves, begging to die and to more or less be annihilated in order to keep from having to face God's eternal judgment because they'll know what's upon them. Jesus said in Luke 23, verse 30, "Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.'" How do we escape the wrath of God if we're an unbeliever? You don't, but they will try, is what the Bible says. And that's why it's so important for us to share the good news of Jesus Christ and his salvation with others, our family members, our neighbors, those that need to hear, because there won't be a second chance when that trumpet sounds. Now, some theologians I shared with you said that there would be some unbelievers on earth that might be given a second chance. But here's my question for you. Would you rather be on the first bus or first train out of here in the hands of Jesus? Or would you rather stick around and experience this wrath and hope that it works out for you? Right? I want to be on the first train out of here. I don't want to hang around here in this mess and this evilness down here. And so that's where we should be in our faith journey. That's what we want to accomplish and obtain through our faith in what Jesus can bring to us in our lives. And finally, in verse 17, we see the reason for the catastrophes throughout the universe and for the panic of men. When it says, "For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it?" And the answer is no one. But the questions given there are for us. It's the day when all unbelievers must face the wrath of the Lamb, the return of Jesus. The day of the Lord is a period of time in which God will deal with the wicked people directly and dramatically in judgment. And so when you hear the day of the Lord, that means his return. The day of the Lord shall come. At some point, we don't know when, but that's what it speaks of. I want you to think about today. The life that we live in and the reality of our world today, you will find people that are against God, blasphemers of God, right? Speak against him, speak, you know, down him, whatever it might be. You just hear of atheists that denounce God, said there is no God. You hear false prophets that teach a terrible, unbiblical doctrine, untruths, that there's other ways to get to heaven besides Jesus. You hear all kinds of stories and things that'll go on in the end times. And it might seem like God doesn't really care about it or he does nothing about it. But hold on to that thought. The day designated in Scripture for all of this is called the day of the Lord. And when that day comes, God will seek revenge on those people who disowned him, who blasphemed him, who spoke untruths about his teachings and took it into their own hands. That's when it will happen. God will deal with those people. And he'll deal with every soul in heaven and those unbelievers on earth in the end. As we unpack these seals, the sixth seal, let me tell you that there is still a whole lot of wrath and a whole lot of judgment yet to come that we haven't even touched in the book of Revelation towards unbelievers. And it speaks of how bad hell really is about. You get to see that. And a lot of this world, I don't think, deeply understands what that will be like someday. But it's important for us to know and to share this morning. And so here's my message that I want you to understand and go home with here today. Everyone will know Jesus on the great day of his return. Everyone will. Even an unbeliever will know that there is a God. And so we see that in Philippians 2, verse 10 and 11, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone will know that. For unbelievers, the wrath of God is coming for them. The wrath of God is coming on the rich and the powerful who thought that they were self-sufficient and didn't need God. Think about that for a moment. The wrath of God is coming upon the religious who thought that they could be good enough and maybe earn it and not truly accept Jesus Christ and his grace, the gift given to you and I. It'll come upon the poor who thought they were too insignificant or else thought they're oppressed so much that God will just let them come in without accepting Jesus. You see, it all comes back to accepting Jesus. It'll come upon the intelligent who thought that they were so smart that they didn't need God. They had things figured out in their life. It'll come upon those who believe strictly in science and whatever science can prove is what truth is. And it'll come upon them as well that they think they can disprove God. But in the end, they'll figure out why when God returns. Here's the second point of the message that you get to come home with today. Believers must trust, that's you and I, that Jesus Christ, that we can trust in him and that we'll escape the great day of God's wrath. That we get to leave with the church from earth and be entered in, ushered in to the presence of the Almighty in heaven with other believers that have gone on before us. You know, we gather on this Memorial Day weekend and we honor our soldiers and those who fought for our freedoms, but we also have many family members that lay out there in the graveyard. Think about that for a moment. Most of them have gone on to be with the Lord as believers in Christ. I'm not their judge, but there's some that maybe didn't make it because there's a lot of people that lay out there. But what a day that will be, a reunion. Some of you get to see your mother, your father, or a child, or grandparents, or an aunt, or an uncle, or a cousin that's gone on to be with the Lord as believers. That's an exciting day for Jesus' return. Some of us long for that. That day will come, and the evilness of this world will be gone and no more. In the presence of Jesus Christ, may we receive that. May we not turn from our Lord. And so let me just throw this challenge out here. I know many of you accepted the love and the grace of Jesus Christ in your life, but if you've never done that, don't wait. Make the step. Know where you're going to be at. Because your eternity depends upon it. And may God bring you to that place. And so, as believers, I've told you, don't fear the end times. Don't fear the tribulation. It might get ugly. You might experience some terrible things. But know that you're eternally safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. Have that hope. Keep your head up. Smile. The things of this earth can't get you down. And all of God's people said,